Beautiful Pastor Marianne Harper as she shares with us.
Get all this glitter. I love it. Thanks, kids. Well, welcome to Mother's Day at Bay City Church. You may take your seats. I just wanted to acknowledge first up the two incredible mothers in my life this morning who I am so privileged to have here. My beautiful mum, Olive Roach, here in the second row. It's very special to have her here. And my lovely mother-in-law, Jill Harper. These women are incredible mothers for the kingdom, the way they have just put the kingdom of God first and really raised us in the way that we should go. And I will always honour and thank you both for that. So thanks, Mum. Okay, I'm just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for honouring mothers. God, I thank you that your presence is in this house. God, I pray this morning that your word would go forth. Father, that people would only see Jesus. God, I pray that you would anoint every word that is spoken and that you would bring change and you would bring life and you would bring healing and future to everyone who is here today. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to share with you this morning first one of my very favourite children's stories very quickly, which I think really embraces the heart and the enlarging that a mum's heart goes through in motherhood. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The baby grew and he grew and he grew and he grew until he was 2 years old. And then he ran around the house and pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator and took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, "This kid is driving me crazy." But at nighttime, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor and looked into his crib. And if he was really asleep, she would pick him up and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And she would sing, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, you're my baby, you'll be." The little boy grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath. And when his grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him. But at the time when he was asleep, the mother would quietly open the door and crawl across the floor and look over the side of the bed. And if he was really, really asleep, she would pick up that nine-year-old boy and rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked, she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." The boy grew and he grew and he grew and he grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, she would crawl across the floor, look over the side of his bed, and if he was really, really asleep, she would pick him up and rock him backwards and forth, while she sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as you're living, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." Well, that mother, she got older and she got older and older, and one day she called up her son, who had become an adult and moved out of the home, and said, "You'd better come see me because I'm very old and sick." So her son came to see her, and when he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always," but she couldn't finish because she was too tired, old and sick. The son went back to his mother, he picked her up and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and he sang this song. "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my mummy you'll be." When the son went home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into his room where his new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, "I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my baby you'll be." So that story really, really speaks to my mother heart. I don't know if it spoke to any of your mother's hearts, but it speaks of enlargement. It speaks of what happens to your heart when you have a child. And it speaks of just loving that child through every season. And that's a lot about what motherhood's about. But what I wanted to share with you today is about how God desires that from the very beginning of our walk with Him, that our hearts be enlarged, and enlarged to love people the way He loves people, to become more like Him. I don't know if any of you have had a child and thought, I could never love another child as much as I love this child. It isn't possible. I love them with all that I have, with all that I am. And then the second child comes along, and strangely enough, there's a natural enlargement of your heart, and you love that child with all that you've got. And I just really believe that that's the place that God wants us to come to with others and with His kingdom and with His love for others and His love for the kingdom. So I just wanted to share with you about God's enlarging our heart. And by allowing God to enlarge our heart, we allow our capacity to be enlarged. And our capacity determines what we're able to receive from God. God can't release to us what we're not capable of receiving. And an illustration of that in the scripture is the story of the Israelites, a generation of slaves who traveled the wilderness for 40 years, a journey that could have taken 11 days or less if they were experienced in fighting wars. But it took 40 years to develop their capacity, and sadly, only two members of the original generation inherited the promised land. Expansion of our capacity and our heart is fundamental in moving forward in God and possessing all that He has in store for us and for our lives and the lives of those around us for all eternity. The Bible speaks often of the need to expand our heart to inherit the promises. Isaiah 54 says to enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. God commands us to enlarge, to stretch, to strengthen, and not hold back. The capacity of our heart can limit the flow and overflow of God's blessing in our lives. There's an account of this principle at work in 2 Kings 4, a story of the prophet Elisha and the widow who was in great distress. And it says, "Now the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditors are coming to take my sons and enslave them.' Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me what it is that you have in your house.' 'Your servant has nothing here at all,' she said, 'except a small jar of olive oil.' Elisha said, 'Go and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you with your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each jar is filled, put it aside.' So the woman left and shut the door behind her with her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring and pouring. Then all the jars were full. She said to her son, 'Bring me another, bring me another.' But they replied to her, 'There is no jar left.' And that is when the oil stopped flowing." So how do we enlarge the capacity of our hearts so that we can embrace everything that God has for us, so that we can embrace His heart? First, the Bible says that we need to be born again. John 3:3 says, "Unless a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. He will not know the kingdom. He will not know the heart of God." Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, "I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony and stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." When we are born again, the heartbeat of Jesus supernaturally becomes our heartbeat, a heart for others, a heart for His kingdom, a heart for expansion. Second, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 16, verse 7, "After I am gone, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, the comforter, the helper, the advocate, intercessor, strengthener, our standby." And when the Spirit of God comes, He supernaturally enlarges your heart and your capacity. And thirdly, I believe it's a life of obedience and faith. Psalm 119:32 says, "I will run the way of your commandments, and then you will enlarge my heart." I believe, and my life experience has been, that obedience to God will always lead you to a larger life, to an enlargement of your territories, to the greatest life and the greatest blessing that God has for you. God speaks to us every single day and desires that we have intimacy with Him, that we take on His heart, that we hear His voice, that we know His voice. His heart for people becomes our heart, and our perspectives become eternal. You come to a place where you start to consider the events of your day in the light of eternity and attend to those things that really matter to God. Our family's recently gone through quite a big enlargement of heart. And when I look back over the journey, I just really am reminded again and again of Proverbs 16 verse 9, when the Lord says that the plans of your heart are yours, but the Lord establishes your steps if you obey. And this is one of the most incredible and exciting things about living life for God. So in March 2012, I took on a job with social services and was trying to put my degree to good work, just chose a job, went into that job, happened to be in foster care and started looking after a family who were in incredible crisis. And in May 2012, just a couple of months after I started in that job, a little girl was born into that family. And they were one of the good stories. They were one of the stories where the family was working toward getting it back together. And the three girls actually got restoration orders to go and live back at home. And so the first daughter was restored to mum and dad. And then the second daughter got restored to mum and dad. And then the family went through some new crisis. And when it came to restore the third little girl, the family said, no, we can't have her. We can't take her. So working with that family, it was quite a hard thing to watch. And it was hard to understand why they couldn't take back their third little girl when they'd taken back the first and the second. But they were in incredible crisis. And the third little girl had some special needs. So through the course of that, she was with a family in down south, a beautiful Christian family, who, because she was given permanent orders now to go into foster care, couldn't take her on. And they were heartbroken. They loved this little girl with their lives, but they couldn't take her on. So they began to pray that she will get to go to a Christian home with a family that would cherish her and would love her. And through the course of that, I was approached to pray about it. It wasn't in our worldview. It was completely not in our worldview. But rewind maybe three decades, I remember one of the things that used to capture my mind as a child, and here is the influence of godly parents. My parents always put kingdom matters first, and I remember they had a sponsored child called Ferdinand de la Cruz. Was that his name, Mum? I may have it wrong, but I used to study his picture and it would intrigue me, the life of this little boy on the other side of the earth that my parents were supporting. So everything that you do, guys, your kids are watching and you're instilling an enlargement of heart in them that you might not even know about. Anyway, they also supported a mission called Indian Inland Mission, which had an orphanage in India under the watch of a man of God called Paul Pillai. And I would read those letters and watch that as well and just be intrigued by this orphanage on the other side of the earth. And by, perhaps I had a lonely childhood. I was 9 years behind my brother, but I would line up all my teddies and all my dolls on the veranda and I would teach them and I would instruct them and it was my little orphanage. So, you know, the things that you don't expect are going to have any impact on your kids. If you live the life that you need to lead and you example a life with kingdom principles to your kids, it's going to sink in and it's going to shape them and it's going to define who they become. Fast forward 35 years and we're in this position, maybe even more years, I don't know how old I was. We're in this position and weighing it up, it just seemed like it wasn't the right season in life for us. This little girl was so much younger. Our youngest was 9 years old. My eldest was doing an HSC. And I considered my family and all that we're called to do and just thought, I don't know, I think I need to say no to this. So I went to sleep that night and did I sleep a wink? Could I sleep? No, not at all. So I wrestled and wrestled all night long, and then I was like, Lord, I can't say no. I can't stand with clear conscience before you and say no. So the next day I got up and I decided, okay, if I can't say no, then perhaps someone in my family will say no. And then I have clear conscience before the Lord, but it's their decision. So I would talk to them about the idea of it. And to be honest, their opinion was the same. We're past that baby stage. We're not there anymore. We've moved on from that. But could they say no? No. Nobody, not one in our family, could say no to this little girl. So interwoven was the plans and purposes of God for her life with our family that we couldn't say no. So the story ends that the most delightful little girl, and I'm sure you've all met her by now, entered our life and our home, and we love her so incredibly dearly. We could definitely love her as our own, and couldn't imagine life without that little ray of sunshine, and the plans and purposes of God for her are great. And talk about enlargement, because it's back to that stage of little ones and enlargement, faith, believing for her, for some things that she needs, healing in her life. But to see the work of God from even way back when I was a little child to this day, you know that he's about heart enlargement. And so where are we up to? We're way past there. Pastor Andrew will be happy to know. Okay, so God wants to enlarge our hearts. It's his plan and his purpose in our life, and he commands that we enlarge, we stretch, we lengthen, we strengthen, we do not hold back. Through lives of prayer and communion with him and with one another, he wants us to enlarge and keep on enlarging. And just like Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, pray, God, that you would bless us, that you would enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, and that you would keep us from evil. My son Aiden and I prayed that prayer together probably for the last 2 or 3 years at bedtime. Very dangerous prayer. God wants us to challenge our current situation, our spiritual, mental, and physical life. He wants to expand our perspective, to embrace others and care for others, adopting his heart for those who don't know him and are yet separated from him. To believe God for the ridiculous and the impossible, like Abraham, who from a position of infertility became known as the father of all nations. And like Noah, who had never even seen an ocean, through obedience to God, built an ark for the salvation of mankind. So I want you to stand with me today. There are some of you here who are led of God for an enlargement in area of business, in enlargement in area of finance, of family, enlargement of your heart for your neighbours and your unsaved friends that are yet to know God. There are some of you who are so heavy under the stretch of enlargement right now that's naturally happening, that you really need the Lord to carry you in the middle of it, but know that he's doing something incredible, that he's increasing your capacity, that never is your vessel not big enough to carry what he's carrying for you. And there are some of you this morning that haven't even begun the journey of life with Jesus and this incredible life of heart enlargement. And today I just want you, if you're any one of those people, if you're feeling challenged in any area, in business, in family, to increase and to have the faith to increase and take the steps to enlarging so that God can fill you with incredible blessing. I just want you to reach your hands out to the Lord now. If you're under the weight of enlargement and it just seems like too much for you right now, there is too much going on, there is too much stretch, it is incredibly painful, and you really need the reassurance and the covering of God to get you through. Or if you haven't begun the journey of faith, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I just want you to reach out to him now.